This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the People Who Speak radio show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Who Speak show normally airs every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS radio network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have our virtual radio room called the People Who Speak Radio Show that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. I'm more excited than Forever Mike locked in a brewery. We are talking to a very special guest right here, a regular host on the Conscious Consumer Network radio show. She's a light worker and a researcher of the esoteric arts, a well-known Australian researcher, an outspoken advocate of human rights, and a renowned political commentator. Her website is www.eilish.com.au, spelled E-I-L-I-S-H.com.au. We're talking tonight to Miss Eilish, I'm getting this name right, Eilish D'Avalon, about the political lies and machinations going on in the world and its implications for the people of Earth. Welcome to the People Speak radio show, Miss Eilish D'Avalon, ma'am.
Thank you, Steve. What a wonderful introduction. I'm very humbled and happy to be here and join you. And thank you so much for the invitation. This is a great opportunity to get our message out there and to keep speaking the truth and keep informing the people, because it's all about empowering people. My show on CCN, or Conscious Consumer Network, is called We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. And rather than waiting for someone else to do the dirty work, we need to do it ourselves. And that's why the show is called that. It's about taking the power back, and it's about informing the people. So that's what I try and do in my weekly show. So thank you very much for the opportunity and the platform on BBS Radio, gentlemen. And yeah, so is there anything you'd like to ask me in regards to my former work or my current projects or anything? Please feel free to ask me. I'm here, and also anything in the second hour about my infamy and how we came to meet, Steve. You're very welcome to ask me as well.
Sure, sure. We'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour. But my first question to you is, can you tell us a little bit more about We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For, your own radio show you have down under in Australia? What's it all about? It's about all these topics and subjects, but what primarily prompted you to start doing that radio show?
Okay, so I was actually producing my own video interviews with former Navy SEAL wife, Eva Moore. Now, she is still a Navy SEAL's wife, but her husband, Bill, has currently gone AWOL to pretty much take out the New World Order in any way he can. And you can see his Bill Brockbrader's goodbye videos on the Susie Husey channel. Now, my own channel is Eilish D'Avalon, one word, that's E-I-L-I-S-H. D'Avalon, D-E-A-V-A-L-O-N, and you can also see them on the CCN archives as well. So I'm just going to turn this Skype on, do not disturb, so I don't get other people trying to disturb this. So what prompted me to do it was my interviews initially with Eva Moore, and that we needed an even bigger audience that we were doing because of the controlled opposition that was funded controlled opposition that was attacking her husband with the likes of Don Shipley, the fake SEAL hunter, who was posting some nonsense about Bill's diagnosis as a pedophile, which isn't actually his diagnosis at all. And I am a very vehement pedophile warrior, and but I don't like people who are falsely accused of such things, and that's what was happening. So I have one of my groups on Facebook is called Expose the Ring. You can have a bit of a look at that, and you can join if you like, in which we look at the institutionalized pedophilia around the planet. Now, I was involved with Kevin Annette at some point about this time last year in the International Common Law Court crimes against church and state, of crimes in church and state against humanity. But after a few admins got together and realized that he was in fact seemed more like controlled opposition than actually making a difference, and we found out that there was no common law, international common law court in Brussels, that it was actually the Illuminati building itself that he used as the address, would you believe, that we realized that it was just a front for him and his dad to take in money, his dad being in Florida and Kevin being in Canada. So the work continued. And with my interviews with Eva, Bill Brockbrader's wife, we decided to join CCN and start putting our interviews up on there. And then I started bringing on my own friends that that I've met along the way. Back in 2010, in my own personal incident, police incident, which we'll talk about in the second half hour, I met Santos Bonacci in a common law and constitutional law class, actually, being taught by Malcolm McClure. So it was through that friendship that I had the privilege of interviewing him recently on the Flat Earth stuff. With my work in exopolitics, I've had the privilege of interviewing Alfred Lambermont Weber a few times, both on his latest book, The Omniverse, and also on the black goo, artificial intelligence. So these are just some of the topics that we bring up on the show. So you were saying, Steve?
Yeah, for those people who don't know about Santos Bonacci, he does a lot of work in astrotheology and linking up the Bible into religious significance to the planets. Is that not correct?
That's right, astrotheology, looking at the syncretism, looking at the archetypal influences within our own lives, psychology, what motivates us. So he's a really fascinating guy, and I've had the privilege of spending much personal time with him and his wife and family, extended family, and he's a really totally sweet guy. So it came as a bit of a shock when I heard earlier this year that his the property that he was staying on in Mullaney in Queensland was actually raided, and I did a story about that on my YouTube channel, Eilish D'Avalon, which you can have a look at, which wasn't on CCN. It was before the CCN days. So if people want to tune into the weekly live shows, that's 11 p.m. Greenwich Medium Time every Monday. You can do the maths on that yourself. In Australia on the East Coast, that's Tuesday every 10 a.m. till noon, two-hour show. And we bring forth some of these guests and really interesting people. But thank you for the privilege of actually interviewing me for a change, because we've all got stories to share, haven't we, Steve, about our own trials and tribulations and our own researches along the way.
You've done a lot of work in past life regression and alternative healing. Can you tell us some of your experiences that you've had doing this for people? And I believe you also do that online.
Yes, that's right. So people who can't come to my clinic in Geelong, Victoria, Australia, can actually spend time with me on Skype consultations, whether they want to do past life regression, hypnotic regression meditation and counselling, whether they want to do a tarot card reading or some kind of prophecy or prediction work with me, or diagnostics or remote healings. I'm available for all those things, and you can check out my website, which Steve mentioned before, is www.eilish.com.au. And so I first started looking into these phenomena with my own interaction with an interdimensional entity. I really can't call it an extraterrestrial because of the way it came into the room. And so I've had a few, you know, interesting paranormal experiences in my own past, which as well as some family tragedy that made me look at things like the afterlife and the in-between life or the interlife and have a look at some of those dimensions or bardos that we go to and what happened to my relatives and loved ones when they passed. And so this led me on in my own healing journey to explore these topics. And so healing, past life regression, spiritual counseling became something that I became really interested in after I left journalism. I was actually a Murdoch journalist in my 20s and a freelance investigative journalist after I got disillusioned with Murdoch Institution. And then I retrained into alternative therapies. And so I do that on the road as well as face-to-face. With people, so that's my bread and butter. I have also done civil celibacy, but after my police incident in 2010 and realizing that I was a slave processing other slaves, I've moved to common law rites of matrimony, in which I do the ceremonies that don't tie the person's straw name to the state, because anything you register, because regis means rex or king, anything you register, your gun, your child's birth, your dog, your house title, any or your marriage, anything that's registered is you're basically saying that you are a ward of the state, you're not competent in handling your own affairs, and you are in fact giving your assets, your inheritance, your children, wow, your property, go over to the state. And so this is what led me to my own journeying into common law and constitutional law that got me tangled up with the constabulary on the road back February 2010, when I had an unfortunate discussion with a corporate agent masquerading as a police officer.
And it's not just these fields of research that you're into and you're studying. You also do a lot into alternative energy, into chemtrails, HARP, GMO, and vaccines. Is that not true?
That's right. With my kinesiology work, because I'm a kinesiology practitioner, which is Chinese energetic medicine, with using muscle testing and energetic medicine to clear things, either with homeopathy or meridian therapy. And one of the things that I discovered along the way was the correlationship between vaccines, such as the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine at 12 months, and the incidence of autism. And I was finding that, and with my own research, as well as my professor Lionel Thomas, who showed me his case study on a child that was vaccine damaged at 12 months of age. He was a beautiful, bright-eyed, sparkling little Sri Lankan child. And straight after the vaccine, he was not the same child. His eyes were dull. He was having seizures, and they weren't just febrile convulsions. These were a child that was clearly heavy metal toxic. And through heavy metal detox, through nutrition, through therapies such as Svef kinesiology, a child that was not speaking, was not noticing anybody in the room, was in a disabled children's school with an integration aid because he was so high needs. He became fully integrated over a number of months. Heavy metal detox, brain reintegrated into mainstream schooling without an integration aid, and fully functioning and actually capable of speech. Not only capable of speech, but taking on a second language, because he heard a lady speaking on the train, and he learnt Mandarin in 7 weeks. It wasn't even his family's language.
So you actually. You've seen the life sucked out of somebody because of vaccines, personally?
Yes, and I've seen the recovery, and we've got parental testimony on the fact that autism can be reversed with heavy metal detox, with brain integration, with subtle forms of Chinese energetic medicine, with kinesiology. So even if you're not available to get in contact with anyone who's a SFEF kinesiologist, S-F-E-F, Simple Five Element Formula kinesiologist, you can still, see your local kinesiologist and look at things like brain integration or educational kinesiology to get the hemispheres working again. But what's really important is to do a heavy metal detox. On my YouTube channel, I have a heavy metal detox pesto recipe in which I make it live in my kitchen. And you're very welcome to have a look at that as well. It must be taken with activated charcoal so it can actually magnetize and bond the heavy metals to the charcoal to remove it from the system. But I do nutritional therapy as well, and I have cured my own cancer. And I'll say the word cure because I cured myself. I'm not saying that it can be cured or I can cure cancer, but I did alleviate all the cancer symptoms myself within my own body. So at least I can say that, I think.
Okay, so for somebody who doesn't know, for a stooge out there that would say, oh, this sounds like a snake oil salesman, somebody who would say that, would you consider that these people are just not researched enough to know that this stuff works?
I think that they haven't lived it. I was 31 years old and advised by my gynecologist obstetrician who caught my own children, delivered my own children, or helped me do so. He said to me at the age of 31, you've got reoccurring cervical cancer. We advise you to get a hysterectomy, which is the total amputation of my uterus. Being such a young woman at 31, I said, no, that's not going to happen. I'll have your gonads first before you take anything of mine. And then I decided to go and study. I was already a Reiki master and doing some natural therapies, but I went and studied further into energetic Chinese medicine and homeopathy and nutritional ways of dealing with it. I thought if I got myself into cancer, I can get myself out of it. I just need to be informed. And this was before I even found out about cannabis oil. I was using apricot kernels and I was using lemon juice. I was maintaining an alkaline diet. I was doing the heavy metal detox pesto and I was removing everything toxic in my life, including a toxic boyfriend, because I think there's a big correlation between stress and cancer and emotional health. So it was a holistic program. You have to look at every part of your being, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, nutritionally, structurally, everything, lifestyle, Wi-Fi, everything, and hit it on all angles so it's got absolutely no chance of surviving. You can do bicarb soda. You can do apple cider vinegar. But make sure you don't drink the tap water if you're in a fluoridated or fracked area. And have and research even the spring water that you're drinking, so that it's taken from a pure source, pure being in inverted commas, because everyone's non-organic these days with the chemtrails that they're spraying. You mentioned before about chemtrails and HAARP and vaccines, and now I wanted to get onto the transhumanist agenda. This is a program that I believe is way at the top of the shit pile of what's happening on this planet is a transhumanist agenda. It's not just about Codex Alimentarius. It's not just about depopulation either. This is about building a metallic, robotized, artificial intelligence-controlled, androgynous, slave race, robot-like race with the combination of our bodies becoming metallic with the heavy metals that we're breathing in, all of us, all over the planet, all our animals, all our rivers, our air, everything is just covered with this stuff, thanks to the chemtrail program. It's not geoengineering. It's not climate. It's not global warming. This is changing the structure of our bodies, of our bloodstream. There's women that have been finding these chemtrail fibers in their saliva, in their tears, in their urine, and in their blood. This chemtrails are coming out as skin lesions that, when picked, the fibers come out. And these fibers, when examined under the microscope, are actually moving and growing. This is causing all sorts of problems in the human body, pain, as well as an unsightly appearance with the lesions. People who work in their organic gardens, like those up in northern New South Wales that love growing their own veggies in a lovely warm climate, and they're outside more, handling their plants, are coming in with more Morgellons disease. That's the disease. It's actually diagnosed as Morgellons disease now. I would say 2/3 of the planet, if not more, are infected with Morgellons disease now, in the host countries. Why we are not stopping this, why our air traffic control and our air force are not intercepting these drone planes, even if they're shot down, there's no chemtrail pilot anymore. I believe they're drones filled with canisters being actually remote controlled from the ground. So whichever place that these planes are taking off from, wherever they're being fueled and wherever they're being filled with new tanks to spray on the humanity, this is a crime against humanity that needs to be addressed by every government, every politician, every senator, every congressman has to be addressed. Although I've seen the sadness of one of our brave US soldiers, Second Lieutenant Scott Bennett, who wrote to every member of Congress and every senator in the White House. He had top security clearance. He was himself in the intelligence departments. He was in charge of psychological warfare in the Middle East. And we're talking about a highly decorated individual who himself was ignored by senators and Congress people when he addressed ISIS funding. Okay, because when he was put in a civilian jail, which is again shouldn't be the right thing to, it shouldn't be. He should be in a military prison. If you're going to put someone of the military in any prison, there should be in a military prison, in the military court. But he was in fact taken to a civilian prison, in which he accidentally, which this is a divine intervention, if you like, met Brad Birkenfeld, an American citizen who was a Swiss banker, who gave him and who worked with him for 6 months while they were in jail together, and gave him 19,000 bank accounts of people who fund ISIS, both in Saudi Arabia, Israel. He gave them the account numbers, the account holders, and the amounts donated to fund ISIS. And we're seeing that this, you know, ISIS funding, nobody wanted to touch it. No congressman, no senator, Washington Post, New York Times, none of them had the spine, the backbone to touch this hot potato. So There's quite a lot of scandal going on, even when people, highly decorated military personnel such as Second Lieutenant Scott Bennett, actually try and make a difference, that they are ignored and thwarted. So I would encourage everybody, whenever they hear the word ISIS, to correlate that with the name Scott Bennett, and buy his book, The Shell Game. Have a look on the CCN archives too for my interview with him, and backed up by Vietnam vet Michael J. Anderson, who was at his side the whole time. And they're a formidable couple of guys, you know, and shining examples of the kind of men we need to stand up for the rest of humanity. So,
yeah, these people are light workers.
Sorry?
These people are light workers. They're working
they
for the
are.
Light.
They are. In fact, before we started our show on CCN, Scott Bennett and Michael J., even more, and I all stopped friend took a minute and we prayed, because that's the kind of men these guys are. These are Christian men who pray before every show so that their words can be instruments of the divine, that they can be protected by God. So they are good men. They follow the Bible. They believe in God, and they're good people. Okay, and whether we're Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever, but these are good men, and they pray before every show so that they can look after the people and also keep their oaths. And their oath was to protect the people and the government of America against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And this is what they're doing. And we need all oath keepers to stand up and honor their oaths. And really, this is very, very important, because the amount of effort being put into by the dark side is astronomical. It's multidimensional. Intergalactic and omnidimensional. There's actually an intergalactic mafia. We think that there's just a mafia on this planet, or a bunch of, you know, organized crime gangs on this planet in high places, but it goes beyond that. There's actually an intergalactic and interdimensional mafia.
Right. You mentioned earlier about the changing DNA of human beings, which is the transhumanism agenda. I believe you've also done some research into plasma TV screens that are altering human DNA. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, certainly. So on my CCN interview with Alfred Lambermont Weber, who was the judge of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, Judge Alfred and I did a show, a three-hour show called Hack the Black. Okay, so look that up, Hack the Black on CCN with Eilish D'Avalon and Alfred Lambermont Weber. We go into detail about this, but basically I'll give you a synopsis. He was working for the UN at the time as a consultant, and he's also a Yale law professor, okay, so and a Yale economics professor. So Judge Alfred's a very intellectual man, very high-level academic of the highest level, okay. Now, he was working as an advisor at the time for the UN, and he was in the room when Margaret Thatcher tapped Ronald Reagan on the shoulder and advised him that they were going to invade Argentina. Now, the story that they put out to the media was one thing, okay? We all remember the Falkland Islands. But the real reason was that they actually found some blue humans, okay? So human types that weren't born on this planet. I don't like to use the word alien because that's racist, okay? But blue-skinned scientists were here that weren't born here, okay? They were in an underground bunker, and at the time they were deprogramming this black goo. Now, if anybody remembers the Alfred Hitchcock movie made in 1958 called The Blob, and remade later in 1988 called The Blob, okay, that was a disclosure film. That wasn't a horror movie of a what if. That was actually a disclosure, much like Ronald Reagan himself, who's, by the way, his staff thought he was a blithering idiot, but he did say one thing that actually made a little bit of sense if people could actually read between the lines, and that was when he said, maybe the human population will come together if there is, or when there is, an outside alien threat. Well, he couldn't actually say that we did already have an alien threat on this planet that came from the outside, could he? Because he probably would have been shot like JFK. But what he did was infer it, theorize it, the what if scenario, which was actually his way of disclosing it for people with eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, what he actually meant was this. Now, if you remember the movie The Blob, there's a meteorite that rains down upon the earth, and this guy finds it, and it opens up, and there's this black goo, and it sticks to his body, and it eats him and consumes him and kills him, and it takes over, and it's like some sort of artificial intelligence there's an intelligence to it. It's able to blob around, and it gets bigger and bigger the more people it eats and things like that. Well, there was this black goo down in Argentina in an underground base, okay, and these blue-skinned scientists were deprogramming it, because just like you can program this stuff, you can deprogram it. And what they did was the British and Americans got together, and instead of saving the planet with these blue-skinned scientists, they actually took the scientists out. They murdered them. And they got hold of this black goo. They took it to a military laboratory, and it eventually ended up killing the scientists involved. But like black goo, it escaped. Some of it escaped. Now, remember, this is black goo, okay? It's also called artificial intelligence, and it's programmable. What is the main search engine on the internet called? Google. That's no accident. Google has within it part of this black goo. That's programmable artificial intelligence. Far now, out. It's also in our plasma phones, plasma screens, laptops, smart TVs. This stuff is self-replicating, so it can get bigger and bigger. It was also injected into people to see what happens to them. And Sarah on the Super Soldier Summit talks about being injected on the Miles Johnson Super Soldiers series of interviews. Now, in terms of the what it does now, back 100 years ago, well, in fact, 1917, so just under 100 years ago, a visionary by the name of Rudolf Steiner, who was the founder of the Steiner schools of biodynamics and of anthroposophy, he also wrote, and you can look up the Rudolf Steiner lectures online. He has one lecture back in 1917 in Zurich called The Aramanic Deception. Now, he said that Lucifer came onto the earth about 400 years ago in China. There was the Jesus or the Christ entity that came onto this planet, as we know. He said about, 2,000 years ago. But then he said in the new century, which he's talking about now, there would be another entity coming through. But unlike the others that came through with personas, this one would come through via technology to infest the brains. Now, what happens is, you see all these zombies, if you go on public transport, or you're standing at a bus stop, or you're in an elevator, or you're on a bus or anything else, everybody's looking on their smartphones. Everybody's looking at their tablets or their laptops. Nobody's talking to anybody. Everyone's got their headphones on. Nobody's talking to anybody, and everyone is completely shut down in their own bubble.
Well, now, please, Miss Alicia, just one sec. We're going to have a break here. This is the People Speak Radio Show, and we're talking to a very special guest this evening, Miss Alicia D'Avalon, live on internet radio across the planet and across the world. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
You're listening to the People Speak radio show on the BBS Radio Network, coming to you live across America and across the world. I'm your host for this evening, Mr. Steve Johnson, and we're back with our very special guest. She's a political researcher with her own radio show called Where the Ones You've Been Waiting For. And we've certainly been waiting for her. You can participate during this show with the call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada. Give us a call right now on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Welcome back there, Miss Alish, ma'am. Can you finish up what you were saying about this artificial AI?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Yeah, so what I was saying before is the blob is in all our technology now. And now what it does is it puts people under a form of hypnosis or a beta state of consciousness in which we are hypnotically suggestible. So just like the movie from 1984, They Live, that a man puts on glasses and discovers that there's a whole other world that he wasn't even aware of, we have to be aware that when we are looking at our plasma screens, we're actually interacting or interfacing with a hypnotically suggesting artificial entity that is able to program us. So we're becoming zombified by both HARP and chemtrails and vaccines and fluoride and AI. And this is a holistic program of dehumanizing the population. So have a look at Rudolf Steiner's lectures. He did his Aramaic Deception lecture in Zurich in 1917. His lectures are available online to read through at your perusal. And you can also have a look at my interview with Alfred Lambermont Weber on AI called Hack the Black, which was a CCN production on Conscious Consumer Network. So, Steve, you're mentioning that we've got quite a few people with some comments and questions on the BBS radio. What are some of the questions that are coming back or the feedback from our viewers or listeners?
Yes, we have a question from Wolves Den in Oklahoma. Can you tell us a little bit more about what past life regressions have you experienced with other people?
Oh, with other people. Okay. These have some people come to me with issues. I had a young mother come to me with a five-year-old boy who was afraid of water. Now, this family lived in Torquay, on the surf coast. They lived right on the waterfront. Their family was a beach-going surfing family with beachfront views of their whole back porch was actually the beach. And so they was wondering why this happy little boy from a happy little family just couldn't handle water and wanted not even a face washer on his face, wasn't happy about the bath or swimming lessons or surf life saving or anything that his father or parents were into. And so he came up onto my table and I got him to hold some crystals and close his eyes. And my iPod shuffle was on random. And I had some healing music in my room, and in fact, I think it was a bit of divine intervention because I had quite a lot of different sorts of musical genres on my healing shuffle iPod, And what came on was Celtic pipe music. And it was old historical Celtic pipe music. And he opened his eyes while I had my hands on his ankles. And he said, they played this at my funeral. And I just looked at his mother and his lips started quivering. And I said, how did you die? Because the soul of his, the window of his soul opened up. And he said, my ship went down. And he just said it so doomsday, this little five-year-old boy. And I said, oh, wow. And what happened then? And he said, well, I was very sad because I couldn't see my family anymore. I said, but this mother, she's your mother. She's your family. And he said, that's my other mother. This is a five-year-old boy talking like this. So this led to the breakthrough of why he was so afraid of water. And then once that became integrated within his psychology, that they could in fact acknowledge that his ship did go down and that this was why being born into a family right on the waterfront was so challenging for him, really gave them a bit of context and a bit of sensitivity to help, because he was born with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of a previous life. So we don't just get PTSD from shell shock from being war veterans in this life, or domestic violence victims or rape victims in this life. We actually can be born with PTSD from past life, and these can come through. So these are the ways that past life regression can help with irrational fears and phobias, if you're looking at a person's regular life, there's no correlation. There was another woman who had a real weird thing about her feet, and whenever she got out of the shower, she would always put cream on her feet and put her socks on and really, really take such good care of her feet before any other part of her body. And I said, you sure you've not just got a foot fetish there or something? She said, no, I want to have a look at my past life and see if there's something, because it's almost OCD with how funny I am about my feet, and my family and my friends have all teased me over the years about it. But I just feel that there's something different about it, because I didn't. And I said, did you ever like stand on anything sharp as a child, or step on a bee or anything? And she said, no, nothing to my memory. So we went back through her childhood just in case, and then we went beyond into the interlife and then into the past life, particularly the Akashic record that dealt with her foot trauma or her foot focus. And in fact, in that life, she's a Western woman in this life. She was an Indian woman in that life, curry Indian woman in that life. And she was walking very far to fetch water from a well or a creek to bring the water back in a vase on top of her head. And she was walking back, and I think she had a few tiers of vases stacked upon her head, walking back to her family. While she was walking back to her hut, she left her children to play, and there was a kerosene stove inside the little hut. Well, when she started walking towards her village through the jungle, she noticed that there was smoke and people running and screaming, and she dropped dropped what she was carrying, and she ran towards her hut, and she ran inside the burning hut to rescue her children who couldn't be rescued. And she actually ended up passing away from severe burns because she had burns to her feet trying to save her children. Right. So the last memories of that life were her taking care of her third degree burns before she passed away from the injury. So she was born with trauma to the feet. And so it's interesting how people's fears and phobias sometimes that may seem irrational are actually as a result of people having past life trauma that can be accessed through meditation and hypnotic regression.
Okay, we have a question here from 00Skunky00 in Vancouver, who asks, Miss Eilish, you talked earlier about activated charcoal. Can you please elaborate? How different is that to normal charcoal?
So in regards to what it does, normal charcoal is good for with say bloating, cramping, if people are prone to say some wind in the bowels. Activated charcoal does something in addition to that, and that actually bonds the metals to the charcoal like a magnet. So if you've got mercury in the system, if you've got heavy metals from breathing in exhaust fumes in the traffic, or ingesting heavy metals because of the fluoridated water you might be subjected to, or the chemtrails that we're breathing in through the air with the aluminium and the barium and other nasties that are being breathed in, I advise everybody to start taking activated charcoal because it binds these metals to the charcoal, and that helps eliminate them and pull them out, and we eliminate them through the digestive system process. So they get pooed out, basically. I feel sorry for the heavy metal load in our sewage treatment system, though, because that will go out into the ocean. It's basically moving it from one problem and putting that problem into another arena. It's not the most ideal thing, but it certainly does help the human. However, I just think that we need to do something about our oceans as well. So it's not the most ideal thing, but it certainly helps when regards to detoxing for ourselves.
We have a question from Butterfox in Sydney. Miss Eilish, do you know about the stuff called Orgonite, and what do you think of it?
Orgonite? I think it's wonderful. That's the now you're talking about the pyramids, the solid geodes.
Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, yeah. They're really good if you've got smart meters. Dumb meters, I call them, or if you want to protect an area, such as in my healing temple, I have three orgonite pyramids with copper spiral coils and crystal terminator points built into them, and they energetically protect my area. Now, I have shooed the power core guy that wanted to install a smart meter on my property. I've shooed him away three times with no trespass high court rulings. So I haven't got a smart meter on my property, but I still get bombarded by the Wi-Fi and the smart meters from the other people in the street who weren't as savvy as me. And because we have telephone towers and mobile cell phone towers in our area, of course, as well, we're bombarded by so many signals that if you're doing something with subtle energies such as homeopathics, energetic Chinese medicine, Reiki, any kind of subtle energy work, it's really important to energetically protect your place. So by putting crystal quartz terminators points all around, embed them in your land, by putting orgonite everywhere you can, and orgonite generator type machines anywhere you can, they can help protect from radiation and even chemtrail damage as well, because these chemtrails get energized with HAARP that activates them, and then they put they haze a whole area. Some of the clouds that we see that are first chemtrailed and then zapped with HAARP have those sand dune type ripples on them. That's a HAARP stimulated cloud pattern that is actually putting a certain frequency onto a whole population or a community. So orgonite will help with that. I would sleep with orgonite around you too, especially if you've got a smart meter in the home, absolutely, and Wi-Fi too.
We have a question from Dreidels of Treason in Texas. You mentioned earlier about cancer, how it could be something that affects you from even stress. Could cancer be a psychic phenomenon from maybe, for example, excessive guilt?
Yes, definitely, because there's a definite correlation between the emotions and the imbalances within the body systems. For example, when I'm working on kinesiology patients, when I'm working on their kidneys and bladder system, I'm working a lot on the fear and terror. When I'm working on the gallbladder, I'm working with repressed resentment. In fact, gallstones are solidified resentment. So it's like an emotion that's encapsulated. Now, there is a physiological way of making a gallstone with our fatty Western diet and our interest in coffee and cola drinks, which contain oxalic acid, which solidify the fatty foods and causing the gallbladder stones, of course, which can be melted with malic acid, apple juice, and apple cider vinegar, and gallbladder flush protocol. But there is definitely a psychological correlation between the emotions and the body system. In fact, when I had cervical problems, could relate them back to psychosexual issues that I had in my past, and also to a current toxic relationship that I was having. And that's why I ditched the toxic relationship, actually, was because I didn't want to have any more stress or pressure on me in that way. So, yeah, because the stress hormones go up, and this causes a cascade, it causes adrenal fatigue, and it can cause an overproduction in certain things. And we see, people with worry, who worry a lot, having more gray hairs. This is as a result of the depleted life force that's within the person as a result of these emotions.
Right, right. Now, the people have been going berserk in Googling your name and finding the news.com.au story where you claim that you are a self-professed witch that dragged a police officer along the road very badly and gave him injuries that he needed surgery for. Can you just set the people straight on what actually?
Okay, so thank you for bringing that up. So I was back in 2010 and early 2010, I'd been on the common law and constitutional law study groups for a while, and I felt that I was quite well proficient in speaking with corporate agents in regards to whether they had authority to over me in any way whatsoever. I was studying how to become a sovereign citizen. I'm still mastering that, and I'm not financially independent enough to be able to call myself totally sovereign yet. However, I do hold those principles strongly in my heart. Now, at the time, I had on my dashboard, I had constitutional papers printed out about a person's right to travel, about the fact that we are allowed in the Constitution to travel unmolested by anybody, that it is our right, and that is not necessary to hold a driver's license. And I looked into the whole licensing and what's behind it. I looked a lot into what the straw man name was as well, and that I was not the name. So based on that background, when he pulled me over, I said, well, who's asking for my ID? Who's asking? Can I have a look at who are you, and who are you saying that you are? And he quickly showed me his badge, but not enough for me to take in or even connect his face to his name. And I told him that I had a constitutional right of travel and to be traveling unmolested, and that I was not the name, and that I was not subject to corporate laws, because I did not recognize that the corporation was in fact the government, so to speak. In fact, that it was treasonous that we have a corporation masquerading as a government, and in fact that I had informed him that now, because he had admitted that he worked for the Victorian government. And when I asked him, was he aware that the Victorian government was in fact a corporation, he answered in the affirmative and said that he was aware that the Victorian government was a corporation, in which I said, well, do you know then that that is a treasonous situation? And now that I, as a sovereign being, that I've informed you that you are in treason, if you continue to support treason, that the sentence is actually capital punishment. We see he didn't like that. I called myself a sovereign being. I don't think he even had the education to know what sovereign being was, or in fact that I was practicing or how to be one, or learning how to be one, and in fact ascertaining my right to sovereignty. And it's an inalienable right to be. It is what it is, and I was in fact misquoted in the media saying that I was a alien being not subject to the laws of this planet. I actually said I was a sovereign being not subject to treasonous law, yeah, with agents masquerading as police officers, who were actually policy enforcers. Well, he didn't like this and he thought I was being a smart ass. And he, when I said to him to, you know, stop harassing me, he proceeded to put his arm and his body across my body because I told him I was going to take off and that he was dismissed from my presence and to step away from the car. I then proceeded to turn on the ignition and put my car into drive, take my foot off the accelerator, and I gently took off, asking him to step away. He then launched into my car window because I did have my window fully open. The media said that I had my window wound up onto his arm. That was not the truth at all. The truth was that he hung onto my keys like some robot, RoboCop, where he actually had his other arm across my breast, sexually assaulting me, and put his hand on across my lap onto the T-bar auto to try and put the T-bar from drive into park, while trying to snatch the keys out with his other hand, while dangling out of my car, while I'm driving at slow pace. Right, so the guy, now,
I thought it was some kind of Terminator and wouldn't let go, and you were Sarah Connor. We have to get her.
Yeah, and that's right. And I was just a housewife, just a single mum housewife, from going from A to B on my private business. I didn't need a driver's license because I wasn't on a paid. I wasn't a paid chauffeur. I wasn't a paid taxi driver. I wasn't a paid truck driver or a courier of any sort. I was just a mum going about my private business, normal suburban housewife, and he decided to go all RoboCop on me. So, of course, I had a panic attack, which is diagnosed in my post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of this. And that, in fact, because clearly even the county court judge said that I clearly had a panic attack, and that mitigated my sentence from 20 years for dangerous driving and recklessly causing serious injury to 2 months. To make an example out of me. They shouldn't have given me any time at all. They should have actually awarded me damages for being illegally trespassed and for being assaulted. Panic attack caused that injury.
So, sorry to cut in there. We're running out of time. Got one final question, a very quick one. Do you support the stop funding of Israel?
I support the Stop Funding Israel campaign, absolutely. I think we should all boycott any product made in Israel and any Zionist business venture whatsoever, including ISIS.
Wow, we're going to have you on again. We've still got lots of questions we haven't got through yet, but you've been listening to the People Speak radio show with special guest Eilish D'Avalon, or Eilish, sounds like stylish. I'd like to thank her and remind all the listeners to visit her website at www.eilish.com.au. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Miss Eilish D'Avalon.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Doug. All the best, everyone. Good luck with your sovereignty.
All right. God bless. Bye. You. Join us coming up soon on the People's Show when I talk with political reporter Geroid Coleman and Australian Professor Ian Plimer. Stay tuned for those interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers Mike, Doug, and Donald, and to all my friends throughout the world and all the guys who give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest.